Welcome back into the show. It is a Friday. We are now 5 weeks away from the beginning of college football season. We can smell it. We can see it coming around the corner as it approaches ever so slowly. Today we are going to break down the Pac-12. David Sears and I will. David Sears is joining me as he does each Friday. He will do so, by the way, throughout football season. He is the host of the David Sears Show. He's the purveyor of the David Sears Experience. blogspot.com. He is also the host of WJOX Game Day Overtime on Saturdays 9 to 11 on WJOX FM in Birmingham. David, I almost gave you attributed another show. You probably don't need another show. I almost attributed another show to your name. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm getting there with all the times and appearances I'm doing, but you know, slowly and surely. Trying to do a big deal like Jacob Bunn.
Who's that? We will...
Well, it's been fun. It's been fun, and I've enjoyed watching all the media days and everything this week, just getting the Pac-10, Big 12, and Big 10, and then, of course, you got the smaller conferences doing their media days, too, so it's just so much stuff going on, and wasn't that appetite for football.
I thought Mike's Live said that media days was over after last week.
You would think so, but surprisingly, there are other conferences that exist outside the SEC.
Well, and we are going to talk about one of those today, the Pac-12, and what they have coming up this year. Of course, I think it's going to be a huge lift, Sears, as we get started with this. There's the big elephant in the room that wasn't in the room last year, wasn't eligible to be in the room, and that, of course, is USC can actually participate in postseason play, be it a conference championship game and or a bowl game. So that immediately sets the table for a different Pac-12 this year.
The Pac-12 South will be USC's to lose. You may get a little challenge from Utah, who a lot of people are very high on this year. You may get a little challenge from Arizona or Arizona State with their new offensive schemes. But pretty much everything that we will see will revolve around USC this year for the Pac-10, our Pac-12. The big games, of course, are going to be USC and Notre Dame and USC and Oregon, and they get to host Oregon this year. Last year they went up and beat them in Elkin Stadium for the first time, I think winning in the state of Oregon for the first time since 2006 or 2005, I forget which. They'd been on a bad losing streak in the state of Oregon. And you got to think that with all that talent coming back there and the potential of getting Silas Red from Penn State, you could see USC only facing really two challenging games all year and ending up in the BCS title game.
You got to love Lane Kiffin saying that he feels so bad, just so heartbroken for Bill O'Brien and the job he has in front of him, the challenge that he faces now as the head coach of Penn State in the midst of all these sanctions and penalties. And then let's go talk to Silas Red. It was reported yesterday that Kiffin and Silas Red, the top rusher for Penn State last year, met. I don't think we have to guess, do too much investigation to know what they were talking about in that meeting.
Well, I mean, we know what they were talking about, and we know what he would do. Silas Red is a great running back, probably going to be a first-round pick this year. He would boost his profile by playing in a program like USC's. He would be able to do remarkably well there. And, I mean, let's face it, Southern California is way more fun in the winter than Northern Pennsylvania. So, I mean, there's a lot going for him to go to USC. USC, of course, would either have to give a walk-on who just got a scholarship, make him go back to being a walk-on, or take a scholarship away from someone who is coming in this year from the freshman class and try to grayshirt them. But that only happens in the SEC, according to the Big Ten, never anywhere else. So it's going to be interesting to see what USC does from that perspective. They are facing sanctions. They're not able to go over the scholarship limits that the NCAA has imposed upon them. So they will face that hurdle. But, you know, college coaches are magic, are great at working their magic to make sure they get in the correct number of scholarships.
I think USC, as we mentioned earlier, will have a clear path to victory for the Pac-12 South, and we'll, I mean, I don't want to give away any predictions, but I don't think it'd be earth-shattering news if I went ahead and told you that I think USC will win the Pac-12 South. But I think a challenger to them, as you mentioned, Arizona State, of course, has been competitive the last couple of years. UCLA, I think, will be improved this year as well. Remember, they went to the Pac-12 championship game last year by default because USC was ineligible. But I think Utah also can have a good year. I've yet to see anything out of Utah, of course, in their first year as in the Pac-12. But I think they have a competitive team this year, and I don't think they'll challenge USC, but they can make some noise, I think, and get to a strong bowl game.
USC will look at Utah as a threat. Kyle Whittingham, as we saw what he could do against Alabama, he can run that offense very well. And if your defense is substitution based the way Monty Kiffin's is, if your guys are stuck out there on the field and are just gasping for air, they'll run you into the ground, especially if you're playing that quick pace up in the high atmosphere of Salt Lake City. So you'll be able to see a lot going down for the Utah Utes this year. Arizona State, they had so many chances to win the Pac-12 South last year, and they continually just choked away the division to a very subpar UCLA team that had to get a bowl waiver to go in as a 6-7 team to a bowl. So Arizona State just needs to make sure they take care of everything, take care of the ball, and if they can do that, they'll be able to play well. They do. Arizona State does host Utah. Arizona State has some difficult games with Arizona and UCLA, because I think UCLA did beat them last year. Yeah. They still have a little oomph left in there, even though it's Jim Mora Jr. instead of Rick Neuheisel. But you really have to think that if there's any two true contenders to USC, it'll be Arizona State or Utah.
I agree with that. I don't think Rich Rodriguez is going to have that Arizona team in a form to compete for the Pac-12 South immediately. Looking at the other side of the conference, of course, I think the game to watch will be USC and Oregon. That game, of course, played in Southern California. That's on November 3rd, so I'm sure if you're not in Baton Rouge or you're not watching the Alabama and LSU game, there might be 10 or 12 people who will be watching the Oregon and USC game, because I think that will have a direct effect on who wins the Pac-12 North and South. I don't know, though. I'm not sold on Oregon this year for some reason.
I like Oregon. I know they're losing a lot, but that seems to be a very systematic offense where they're able to just slide in players to keep the system going. They have a lot of success running the ball. Dennis Dixon probably should have stayed in this year. Not probably. He should have stayed in this year. He should not have turned pro. I really don't understand where he was getting his information from. But LaMichael James was a good runner, but Barner, thank you, showed that he had a lot of potential to be a full-time back last year, especially looking at what they did in the Rose Bowl. And they have a great amount of talent there. It'll just be, does it all come together quick enough for Oregon to put together another Pac-12 championship-type season?
What's your surprise team this year, Sears? I'm going to go with California. I think Cal has a chance this year to really have a good year. If you look at their schedule, they do play Ohio State out of conference, but it sets up nicely for them to get on a run in the conference late in the year. And if they can somehow knock off Oregon, they play them at home, I think that there's a good chance they could win the Pac-12 North. So I'm going with Cal as my improved, scary, surprise, whatever you want to call them, team of the year this year in the Pac-12.
I'm going to go with Utah. I don't think they'll win the South, but I think they'll finish second. You look at their schedule, they play Northern Colorado at Utah State in Logan, which will be a tough game, and then that BYU game. After that, you've got just your tough games up front.
Yep.
With USC and Arizona State,
and UCLA.
Arizona State and then USC. UCLA should be somewhat of a challenger. They should beat them. Then Oregon State, your team, Cal, Washington State, Washington, Arizona, Colorado. I mean, that schedule sets up perfectly for them to do a nice little 9-3, 10-2 type season. So I think Utah will be a good team coming out of the Pac-12. I think they may get to go to another BCS bowl, but this time as a member of the Pac-12.
I think that's a good point. And I do, like I said, I think Utah can be competitive in that league, but USC, no doubt, it's theirs to lose. How about Matt Barkley, the quarterback of USC, who had such a good year last year? He's coming in to the year with the experience and really is the veteran leader of that conference. And I think that there's a good chance his name will be early season all the way through in conversation for winning the Heisman Trophy. What are the chances he gets it done this year and claims that award in New York?
Well, I think if he can get a solid running back to take a little bit of the pressure off, like a Silas Red, you will definitely see him in the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I think the pressure will be there. He has so much great receiving talent around him. He's got so much great just offensive line talent around him. That team's very, very stacked. But the problem is they only have one deep. Any significant injury to them could derail his Heisman contention, because let's face it, they're going through what Alabama went through in 2002, 2003, 2004. They're not being able to sign full recruiting classes. They're not able to have the quality depth that you would like to have at a big-time university. So one injury could definitely derail that, and I'm not just talking his injury. I'm talking any injury there in his offensive unit.
If you had to say a coach that was on the hottest seat this year, and it's hard to really pick one in the Pac-12, as other conferences is a little easier, I think we all saw the job David Shaw did last year, and, of course, Rich Rodriguez coming into his first year at Arizona. There are some really good coaches in the league, but who has to perform this year the most out of this conference?
I want to see something out of Jeff Tedford. Jeff Tedford has always been on the brink of doing something really awesome, and he just never seems to get over the hump. He had that lightning in a bottle with Aaron Rodgers, but he only went 8-4 with Aaron Rodgers. The following year, he took Cal. They were 10-3. They were tied for first, and they ended up in the Holiday Bowl. But 2010, they were 5-7. Last year, they were 7-6. 2009, 8-5. 2008, 4. He's only had two 10-win seasons there. And it just seems like he's always supposed to do something big, and he never quite gets there. Mm-hmm. So I think Cal fans are happy, but they would like to see him get them to a better state.
Very interesting. Great stuff as always, David. Another fantastic show. We previewed the Pac-12. Next week, it is the Big Ten, the leaders, legends, losers, whatever they call their divisions up there. We will preview that, as well as that one division that seems to have teams dropping from eligibility faster than the stock market drops these days, as Penn State and Ohio State are no longer eligible to compete. That'll be an interesting discussion next week. I look forward to it.
Can I say a quick word about that?
Yes, please do.
Yesterday, Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach of Northwestern, is actually proposing that the Big Ten use a selection committee to choose the Big Ten championship game, which I thought was very interesting. Since the Legends Division has six teams competing for a title and the Leaders only have four, and basically it's Wisconsin and three little tiny schools, they're hoping to get some type of waiver. So we may see a two Legends Divisions champs match up. So that would be quite interesting if they were to set that precedent for the Big 12 title game.
That would be.
Big Ten title game.
I would be very interested to see if that actually goes through. And that's Pat Fitzgerald always thinking outside the box. I think that's a very interesting suggestion. I will say that I don't think Brett Bielema is going to be in favor of that. What do you think?
I don't think Brett Bielema, who seems to be one of the few guys that wants to do everything by the rule book and honor everything. I mean, he's the one that's saying Big Ten coaches shouldn't pick the carcass of Penn State, and they should leave the players alone. Meanwhile, Illinois turns in a request for I think, six players. Ohio State's still looking at it, but they would have to move some scholarships around for their involvement with Tattoo Gate. So you've got a Brady Hoke that he flat out take players if they wanted to come to Michigan. So you have to see a different thing, and I think Brett Bielema would definitely flip his lid if the man who's so about honor and tradition and following the rules does not get to go because his division is so weak.
That is very true. Hey, great stuff as always. Look forward to our conversation about the Big Ten next week.
All right, thank you very much, Bon.
We will be back next week. Everyone take care, and for the latest college football news, go to Sears' site or mine. It'll be there. Have a great weekend.